Case for argument, United States versus Baskin, Mr. Singleton.
May it please the court. Good morning, Norm Singleton for Dustin Baskin. And to get right to my point, police officers required to provide a rational explanation for why they suspected the person they stopped. The deputy's explanation in this case was, I thought it was strange that they approached slowly and then accelerated. The district court agreed. She found it unusual. Subjective terms for an objective standard. But
you left out a few things. It was dark night. 3 o'clock in the morning, he proceeded slowly until he saw the police car. It was in the vicinity of a drug laboratory.
That's correct, Your Honor. There's basically
three. Then he sped up instead of slowing down, or when he saw the police car, instead of trying to avoid, they speeded up quickly.
They went from about 15 to 35 and 175 to 350 yards, which is not exactly thunderous acceleration.
No, I didn't say they tore up this pavement or anything, peeled their wheels, but they were in a big hurry to go. I throw those into circumstances that the officer would take into consideration to determine whether he had probable cause.
And that's correct. And I think the parties agree that the timing and location by themselves don't meet the standard of reasonable suspicion. We have to throw into the totality of the circumstances the officer's observation of the driving behavior. And her rational explanation was, well, she thought it was strange. She didn't, like, for example, state that it looked as if they were casing the vicinity of the site, which makes sense because
it gave her pause, is what you're saying.
Very good. Yes, it gave her pause. And the district court emphasized that it was the slowness of the cornering that the district court referred to as unnaturally slowly. Last week, I found myself in that area, and I thought it might be instructive to drive around that corner a couple of times.
Uh-oh. Might get picked up.
I managed to get away with it, Your Honor.
I assume that this conversation is not part of the record.
It's certainly not.
Is the park closed at night?
Is it closed at night? No, sir. These are public roads that go through.
This little dirt road actually goes right through the park.
It goes alongside of it.
It goes alongside the park.
Yes. On one side, I believe it's private property. On the other side, I believe it's park.
There are residences along this road, I take it?
Yes, there are, Your Honor.
Do you know how? Does the record show how many?
It does not. The deputy was there in the dark. She testified she saw the fire number plates indicating there were residences there, but she didn't know how many. At any rate, during my misspent youth, I spent a lot of time driving on unpaved roads and hanging around the local dirt tracks. And I can, based on hard experience, there's nothing strange or unusual about driving cautiously.
You're speaking as an expert witness now.
I have background and experience, Your Honor.
You're probably qualified as an expert in some areas, at least.
Yeah. Well, that would be one of the few. The point is that at the bare minimum, the court needs some objective fact showing some kind of illegal activity. That's what the court stated in Pavelski. And in this case, that would be a nexus between the occupants of the Lumina, suspected meth lab. And there's really nothing in the record that shows that. What we have is reasonable suspicion asserted to be based on outwardly, consistently innocent behavior. I'll save some time for rebuttal if there's not a question on the table right now.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Singleton. Mr. Anderson?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Robert Anderson. I'm Assistant U.S. Attorney with the Western District of Wisconsin. I have the privilege of representing the United States in this case. The district court did properly determine that there was no Fourth Amendment violation in the Terry stop in this instance. For large part, the appellant's appeal and his brief seemed to focus on the semantics. He's Here we are not questioning the challenge of the court's application or interpretation of the law, but the factual findings, which this court reviews for clear error. And there is no clear error in this instance. The record amply does support the factual findings that Judge Bauer has referred to, the lack of traffic in this area where these officers were set up in a unusual spot in a county park. There had been absolutely no traffic, not a single car in 5 hours, and the only car that comes through there is past 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's traveling, as the testimony indicated, Mr. Johnson described, he was negotiating a curve very carefully at 10 to 15 miles an hour and was being very careful of proceeding at 10 to 15 miles an hour along this narrow dirt road until, as the officer testified, when she put on her lights, on her parking lights, made it aware, made Mr. Baskin, well, or whoever was driving the vehicle, aware.
What was the speed limit there?
I believe the testimony or the record indicated the speed limit was 35 miles per hour.
Right, and there was some testimony that there was also a warning sign saying slow down to 15 for this curve.
I think Mr. Johnson testified to that, but there was no when they presented an expert testimony, he could not confirm that there was such a sign there.
Well, you don't have any contrary testimony. The district judge didn't find that there was no sign. So it sounds like what you're saying is that at all times this car followed the signs, went around the curve at the speed he was supposed to go around the curve at, and then, having passed the curve, increased to the speed limit. It doesn't sound particularly suspicious.
Well, one of the defendants testified that he believed there was a sign there indicating go 10 to 15 miles an hour. Neither the officer knew of such a sign nor their other witnesses.
They're either there or not. There's no finding by the district judge that this testimony is false. So we have uncontradicted testimony.
Right. There was nothing illegal in traveling at 10 to 15 miles an hour around that curve. That's correct.
And it would be very strange to say it is suspicious that this person followed the warning signs on the road.
No, but the officer testified that as the car approached, it was still proceeding at a slow speed. And I believe her testimony was that when she activated her parking lights, making her presence known, the vehicle accelerated, and as it passed her, and she put her headlights on just before it passed a vehicle length or so ahead of her, it was going 35 miles an hour past her, and then continued to accelerate after having seen that the vehicle was a squad car, continued to accelerate up to 40 to 50 miles per hour on the other end of the road. Now, that's, again, along a road which there was testimony that the speed limit's 35 miles per hour. It goes from one extreme of 10 to 15 miles an hour to the other end of the road going 40 to 50 miles an hour, 3 to 4 times the speed that it was initially going when the officer saw it.
When he passed, the cars passed. That is, the car in question passed the squad car. How close were they to the laboratory, the meth laboratory?
I don't know the exact feet, but it was within the laboratory was in a hillside along the park.
Was she parked immediately adjacent to the entrance to the cave?
Within 50 yards, within 25, 50 yards of this cave, I would guess. The description was that there's a hillside in which the shallow cave was. And that hillside goes down to a water area, and this roadway runs along that. And so she was parked along this narrow dirt roadway. And although the vehicle was very cautious and careful going around the curve, as it approaches a car, which it's now aware of, along this narrow dirt roadway, it's accelerating. It has no concern any longer for caution along the roadway.
And, you know, I'm puzzled by your argument. If it's true that the driver accelerated to 50 after seeing the squad car, we don't have a Terry problem at all. Then there's a stop on probable cause. And it's not a stop, it's an arrest. So why, if that's what the record shows, are we here?
The officer didn't stop the vehicle because it exceeded the speed limit.
It doesn't matter. The because doesn't matter. The standard is objective. If there is probable cause, that's that. Right?
Right.
But I don't recall seeing in the district court's findings a finding of fact that the car was exceeding the speed limit.
It didn't make a finding that it exceeded the speed limit, although the testimony would have supported that. But because the officer was stopping it on probable cause for what she believed she saw a cracked windshield, but the district court did not find.
The district court found as a fact that she didn't see that.
It did not find sufficient evidence that supported the probable cause to stop the vehicle. Then went on to the reasonable suspicion element, and found both the magistrate and the district court later. The magistrate referred to fleeing or flight. The district court, while not using that word, that talismanic word, it did describe in three separate places in its order the vehicle accelerating after it saw the officer's car and the other in light of the other circumstances present. That supported the district court's finding that there was the officer acted reasonably, had reasonable suspicion, and acted properly in stopping the vehicle, because that's, even though there may be innocent explanations, that's the reason for a Terry stop, to either dispel them or confirm them.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Anderson. Mr. Singleton, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
To try to deal with your question, Judge Easterbrook, I don't think it was a probable cause situation because a stop has to be based on facts in the possession of the officer at the time of the stop, and the deputy testified she didn't know what the posted speed limit was.
That's a subjective question. The only question is whether the car was observed going faster than the speed limit. I mean, we've been through this before. The Supreme Court has been through it before. Whether the deputy knows the law is irrelevant. It's just what facts were known. But I take it that everybody agrees there was no finding by the district court whether the speed limit was indeed exceeded.
And that's correct. The deputy approximated the speed. She didn't have a moving radar unit in her car. With respect to the acceleration, the government says, well, they saw the car and they accelerated. But a lot of things were happening right at the moment. The car exited the corner, it came onto a straightaway, which it's common sense. You slow down for the corner, you can speed up on the straightaway. As the deputy turned on the parking lights in the vehicle. And it also, Mr. Anderson noted that it was the only car by in 5 hours. That's true.
Just to follow up on Judge Easterbrook's question, do we know what the speed of the car, what the maximum speed of the car was?
The deputy made a Y turn and chased the car. She said she was going 40 to 50 miles an hour, and she caught it in approximately a quarter mile. She stated that an impossibility, that the Lumina car was going as fast as her car, but that's not true, otherwise she would never have caught it. But she said that her speed was 40 to 50 miles an hour, she approximated. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Singleton. You were appointed, were you not?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Yes, well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your...
It's been a privilege to represent a nice young man like Mr. Baskin.
Okay. Thank you.